Take your Bible, please, and find Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. John Dale, we appreciate so much your not only carrying your own responsibilities as minister of congregational care, but assuming in the interim responsibility of giving oversight to our music ministry. And let me encourage you to pray for John Dale and also continue to pray for Brother Tim Odom. He is somewhat better, but he continues to be in continual pain around the clock and is therefore unable to rest very well. And he's seeking the best medical care that he can find, but nevertheless, he's still incapacitated and unable to do his work. He would want to be here. I visited with him a few days ago. He desires to be here. He wants to come back probably before he's physically able to come back. And so we just want to remember Brother Tim and his family in our prayers as well. As most of you know, a couple of weeks ago, Kim and I flew to Latvia, where we were involved in a mission there with the Baltic Pastoral Institute and fellowship with Peter A. Zons. But suppose when Kim and I went to the Atlanta airport to board our flight to Latvia, that we presented our ticket and we presented our passport. And as you know, they do when you present your passport for an international flight, they scan it through that computer machine. And suppose the person there at the counter said, "I'm sorry, Mr. Jackson, but you can't get on this flight because you have a counterfeit passport." Well, I wouldn't have gone to Latvia. If you're going to make that transition from one country to another, you've got to have a passport, and you've got to have a genuine passport. You've got to have one that admits you to another country. And the folks here in the United States are not going to let anybody get on a plane to go to another country where when they get to the other country, they get clear customs at the airport of that other country. Now, if that's the case, if you and I have to have a genuine passport, if we're going to go from one country to another, how much more is it the case and how much more important is it that you and I understand the authentic gospel of the grace of God, the free grace of God, if we're going to be the sons and daughters of God and if we are going to spend eternity with God in heaven? In our journey through the letter of Paul to the Galatians, we now come to chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And here we see Paul is continuing to confront the false teachers and the false teachings of the Judaizers. Now, just a quick review. This is what the message of Galatians is about. A quick review. Paul is saying that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ Jesus alone. And if you take nothing away from this sermon today, or nothing away from this series of sermons from Paul's letter to the Galatians, please, 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 let the Holy Spirit of God write indelibly on your heart that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ Jesus alone. That is the authentic gospel. Today I want you to think with me about freedom from the counterfeit gospel. Because these Judaizers who had come in after Paul had gone to the cities of South Galatia, planted churches, and moved on. These Judaizers had come in after Paul and they were teaching messages which were erroneous, which were heretical, and which were different from the true gospel of free grace, what I'm calling a counterfeit gospel. They were adding to the gospel of free grace works, in particular, the works of circumcision. So as we think about freedom from the counterfeit gospel, follow along in the Word of God as we begin now in chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, if I'm still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. This is very strong language. In fact, some New Testament scholars were a little bit embarrassed that Paul would use this phrase here, emasculate themselves or mutilate themselves. But nevertheless, Paul knew what was at stake. Paul knew that the gospel of the grace of God was on the line. And if those people who made up the churches of Galatia capitulated to this theological error, it would have destructive consequences for years and generations to come. And so he's writing to counteract this false teaching of this counterfeit gospel. And he's saying there is freedom in Christ Jesus to those who are trusting in Christ alone for salvation. Now this section divides itself into this passage divides itself into two sections. The first section has to do with false teaching, and the second section has to do with false teachers, and one flows out of the other. The first one, verses 1 through 6, is this. Here we see the danger of false teaching. Paul is countering the false teaching of the Judaizers. And in these first six verses, he identifies what those dangers are. Let me list them for you. Perhaps you might want to jot them down. Number one, false teaching, Paul says, results in bondage. Look again in verse 1. Paul talks about freedom here. He says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Jesus is the liberator who has come to set us free from bondage to the law of sin and death. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, Paul says to these Galatian Christians. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. On the one hand, we have Jesus, who is the author of freedom. And on the other hand, we have Satan, who is the author or the agent of bondage. Now, far more than a desire to harm people through obvious immoral or destructive ways, Satan would rather work from within the church. He'd rather have false teaching permeate the church. And here these Judaizers, who I'm sure were well-intended, but they were in the grip of Satan, they came along and they said, yes, it's necessary to believe in Christ for salvation, but once you come to Christ in salvation, if you really want to be what you ought to be, you need to be circumcised. You need to keep the law of Moses, and in particular, you need to be circumcised. And Paul is writing saying, look, Jesus will set you free from that kind of bondage. Stand firm and do not allow yourselves to be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Justification, which means to be right standing with God. When a person is justified, it means it's just as if he never sinned. Now, to be justified, to have right standing with God, comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ Jesus alone. And Paul was saying, no, you don't need to add circumcision to that. You don't need to add these works of the Mosaic law to that. Jesus is enough. Jesus only is the message of salvation that's taught in in the letter to the Galatians. In fact, it's taught in the entirety of the Word of God. So, the first danger of false teaching is that false teaching results in people coming back in bondage to try to observe the law. They become legalists. They try to maintain right standing with God by the works of the law. False teaching number two in verse 2. False teaching makes Christ of no value. If we embrace this false teaching of the Judaizers, that we add works to grace, then Christ has no value. That's what Paul says. Look in verse 2. Mark my words. He said, this is important. Don't miss this. When I was in high school, I played high school football. And our head football coach had a way of getting our attention. He would say, listen up. Listen up. Listen up. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying, listen up. Mark my words. I, Paul. Paul the Apostle, he had already defended his apostolic credentials earlier in this letter. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, if you go back into this kind of bondage to the law, then he says, Christ will be of no value to you. In other words, you can't have it both ways. You can't have Jesus and the works of the law. Because if you have Jesus and the works of the law, you don't have Jesus. He has no value to you. It's not half of Christ and a half of the law. It's only and always salvation is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the second danger is the danger of making Christ of no value. The third danger found in verse 3 is this. False teaching requires obedience to the whole law. If you're going to follow the false teaching of the Judaizers, you've got to obey not just one portion of the law, but you've got to obey the entirety of the law. Look in verse 3. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. Paul says, now, if you agree, after putting your trust in Jesus, that you need to come and add to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished atoning work on the cross, the act of circumcision. He says, if you agree to that, then you need to go ahead and obey the entirety of the law. Do you remember what James said in the letter that bears his name? He who keeps the whole law and yet offends in one part of the law is guilty of breaking the entire law. In other words, if you're going to have a works righteousness orientation, if you're seeking to be justified before God by the keeping of the law, then you've got a tall order before you. You have to obey every command of God, not just